what Bill 52 is trying to do is to say what kinds of learning and education are valid and what kinds of learning and education aren't valid.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Katie Toksoy. I live in Aurora, Ontario, and I'm the liaison officer for OFTP, the Ontario Federation of Teaching Parents. The Ontario Federation of Teaching Parents is a provincial volunteer-based organization. We support and advocate for all types of home-based education and support parents' rights to choose what the best education is for their child. We have online chat groups. We have a chat group for a sort of like an OFTP Kids part of our website where people can feel that they can connect with other, especially teens. Homeschooled teens are sometimes few and far between depending on where you live, and that's a way for homeschooled teens to connect and discuss with each other. There's a post-secondary project ongoing where we have a open channel with universities and we talk about the admission policies, which are being developed slowly. We have other interests where we have tried to organize a conference every year. Some volunteers are very active, and that's where we get all of our work done, where we have active volunteers that have taken on a certain role in the organization. Many hands make lighter work.
Do you have a number for how many homeschooling families in Ontario?
Well, I don't know about families, but I think that a rough estimate that was done recently, they say between 1 and 2% of all students in Ontario are actually homeschooled, which would put the number of homeschooled kids, a very rough estimate, around 10,000 in Ontario. Of course, it's never been counted. Homeschoolers, as a rule, tend not to count themselves in on people's lists for obvious reasons. The Ontario listeners would know about a document published by the Ontario Ministry of Education called PPM 131. This is not a law in Ontario, but it's a policy memorandum, which is published and given out to all of the school boards in Ontario, which basically explains about homeschoolers, what homeschoolers do, and how their interaction can happen between the school board and homeschoolers. If a family decides to take their child out of school, what procedure should be followed, and things like that. And OFTP, along with OCHEC, which is the Ontario Christian Home Educators Group, and the HSLDA, which is Homeschooling Legal Defense Association, all got together and negotiated this document, helped to enlighten the Ministry of Education about the needs of homeschoolers and how we can best understand each other. And so a lot of people know about OFTP through that. That was in 2002 that the policy PPM 131 came out, and we've had sort of a sigh of relief that was general sigh of relief issued among homeschoolers in Ontario, because now there became a reason for school boards not to be investigating every single family who was homeschooling.
Nobody knows I homeschool as far as a school board or anything. I've never had any trouble. But I'm wondering, if I had my kids in school and pulled them out, would I have a different experience?
It's a good question. When you pull your kids out of school, of course, they would have a record of you and your children. There are no investigations being done in Ontario right now, but your name would be there for posterity on a list of people who are homeschooling their children. And depending on the government in charge, they may decide that they'd like to do something about homeschooling, maybe try and find people more accountable for what they want to teach their children and deciding about that. And this is where Bill 52 comes in.
Right. So we're going to talk about that because I think that might be a challenge to homeschoolers.
Yes, it really is. Maybe first it might be helpful for me to say a little bit about what Bill 52 is. This is an act to amend the Education Act of Ontario, which is law. And currently the Education Act says that, Section 21 says that all children under the age of 16 in Ontario must attend school unless they are excused. It says they are excused because they're receiving satisfactory instruction at home or elsewhere. And so that could mean a private school, or it could mean homeschooling. And it's always been left right at that. But Bill 52 is proposing changes to that legislation that go really against the stated goal of giving students a real choice in their education, ensuring student success. Maybe I should just say here that when the bill was introduced in mid-December 2005, OFTP sent a letter to the Education Minister, Gerard Kennedy, who's now, that's not the Education Minister, but we asked how the act might affect homeschoolers, and we requested a meeting, but there is no reply, and there still has not been a reply. But Bill 52, what it does is basically, it's addressing the need to hold, they say that they want to hold schools, hold the Ministry of Education and the Government of Ontario accountable, because they say that school pupils deserve a strong education system that provides them with a good outcome and prepares them for a successful future in their destination of choice. But what they want to do is they want to recognize apprenticeship, work placement with training, things like 4-H clubs, sort of more non-traditional forms of education. And they want to find ways, they say here, that they want to prescribe the programs or other activities that participation in which will permit a person to be excused from attendance at school. And so that, to the OFCP, looks like they're trying to say that if you want to be excused from school and you want to still be lawful, then you have to submit to the programs that the Ministry of Education says you can follow. Of course, homeschoolers know that work placement with training and apprenticeship, the college courses, independent study, all of these things are valid, but there are many personal approaches to learning that really cannot be easily evaluated. And what Bill 52 is trying to do is to say what kinds of learning and education are valid and what kinds of learning and education aren't valid. By taking something that really is outside of the box, you know, what a homeschooler does really is outside of the box, and trying to fit it inside of the box. And so what they say is that you can't drop out of school if you're a high school student. You can't drop out when you're 16 anymore. You have to stay in school until you're 18. And if you drop out of school while you're 16 or 17 and you have not received your OSSD, which is the Ontario Secondary School Diploma, you won't be eligible for a driver's license.
Which is so silly. I mean, it doesn't seem to connect, really. I don't know. The connection there between driving and...
Well, it's what it is. It's a punitive, coercive way to make kids stay in school. And it says in the preamble to the actual details of the Bill 52, it says here that the Ontario government understands the education system needs to instill in young people a lasting, positive attitude toward learning that will keep them motivated to stay in school until they graduate or turn 18. Now, I wonder what this motivation is that they're talking about, because I think all homeschoolers realize that, you know, real motivation happens when people are given charge of their own choices and when they're provided with respectful and moral support and practical support they need to pursue their interests and their goals and their own learning style. But what the government is saying is that they think a good motivation to keep people in school would be to say, you can't have a driver's license if you drop out. Now, that's actually more of a punishment than a motivator.
I'm Noam Chomsky. You're listening to Radio Free School on CFMU 93.3.
They talk about learning. The subtitle of the bill is called Learning to 18, but I don't think really learning is what they're interested in.
And, you know, it's just learning till 18, you know. After that, you can stop learning.
Yeah. Of course, learning is a lifelong thing.
Maybe you can just reiterate, just clarify how can that affect a homeschooling person?
Let me get into the specific here. The bill is not saying that homeschoolers won't be able to get their driver's license, because it's saying that anyone not in compliance with Section 21 of the Education Act won't be eligible for a driver's license. Now, homeschoolers are in compliance with Section 21 of the Education Act because That's what I said at the beginning, where homeschoolers are excused from attendance at school. Section 21 is all about the fact that everyone has to go to school unless they're excused. But the bill proposes that confirmation of compliance would go through the school board. So if, let's say there's a 17-year-old homeschooler who is applying for their driver's license. At the point where the legislation is now, the proposed legislation is, it says that that's fine. All the 17-year-old homeschooler would have to do is provide a letter from their school board saying that they're excused from attendance at school, and then they'll get their driver's license. But that would require writing a letter to the school board to say, I'm homeschooling my child. Please give me permission to do this. Now, the school board, OFCP, and homeschoolers realize that the school board, it's not their job to issue permission to homeschool. We're already given permission to homeschool under the Education Act. And so there's a real conflict there. And so that is what we're trying to address. What we've said is that the whole bill really should be abandoned, first of all. We've said that Bill 52 should be amended or abandoned altogether. And because, really, if the Ministry of Education and the Government of Ontario is interested in having students learn until they're 18, they can do that without Bill 52. They can institute all these lovely programs that they'd like to do, like recognizing apprenticeship, recognizing work placement with training, recognizing 4-H and all the different things that they'd like to recognize without punishments attached to them. There's no need to do that. Oh, and the other punishment besides the taking away the driver's license, which would be really difficult to enforce, is there would be a $1,000 fine for truancy rather than the $200 fine which is currently imposed. So we've said that really we need that there needs to be more access under legislation to recognize non-traditional learning opportunities, not just the ones that the government prescribes, but that recognize that homeschoolers have been doing this for years. They've been successful. They've realized that the Ontario universities have all committed to coming up with an admissions policy for homeschoolers, because if they don't, they're missing the boat. Universities in the States and universities in Ontario have realized that homeschoolers are a different breed. They learn differently. They're more engaged. They're more political. They're more involved in their communities. And they really love, the ones who do decide to go to university generally love their studies and are quite passionate about them. So several years ago, OFTP attended a conference of all the registrars of all the universities in Ontario and got a commitment from every registrar to say that, yes, they would develop admission policies for homeschoolers. Now, if that doesn't speak to the validity of home education, I don't know what does. There is a system in place now where every university has developed an admissions, or if they have not already developed admissions policy, they are developing, or they have committed in the past to developing, whether they've put it on hold or whether they're still doing it now. And what they do is they have different ways of looking at that. For example, a portfolio of their work, an entrance exam specially tailored to them, or interview process. The homeschoolers generally do quite well once they're admitted into the university. Mm-hmm. And so with all that in place, homeschoolers have already proven themselves that what they do works. And it seems that the Ontario government is saying, this is how it works, and this is what people need to do.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what prompted that anyway. Do you have any knowledge on that?
High dropout rates. And it's also a way for the Liberal government to look good and say that they're being accountable. People at OFTP, it's all volunteer work. Mm-hmm. And of course, people who are members of OFTP generally are home with their kids all day and quite stretched. We're not a professional lobby group, and so every little bit helps. But what we're doing right now is trying to issue a statement for the newspapers and the press and the media. And one thing that we're trying to say is it's not right that the government should step in and prescribe which of those learning experiences are valid and which ones aren't, and penalize people. Is that really a path that the government wants to go down, is prescribing which programs and activities are valid and which ones are not? So the government also wants to establish procedures for determining whether the criteria or standards that they have imposed are satisfied. So what does that mean? Does that mean that people who are applying for a driver's license are going to be investigated for, okay, you're homeschooling, that's fine, but prove to us that what you're doing is right for your children? What a child needs is not necessarily, and usually the direct opposite, of what a homeschooling family might see that their child needs. The best thing that every single homeschooling family can do in Ontario is to talk to their MPP. Right now, the bill has already received second reading. There's a committee. It's probably going to be the Committee on Social Policy. This is what happens after second reading occurs, is that the bill goes to committee, where things are hashed out and different groups get to present their viewpoint. So the teachers' unions will certainly have things to say. They're not too interested in keeping reluctant students, potential dropouts, in their school for another 2 years. Students themselves are not interested in being forced to stay in a place. And, of course, homeschoolers see that their rights would be infringed upon. And so all of us will have a chance to present our view to this committee. Now, the committee is made up of MPPs and various government officials. And so the more of a buzz that's created, the more our concerns will be taken seriously. We also have a website which anybody can read and see where Bill 52 is coming from. Also, people can just write a letter to their MPP, say, I'm a homeschooler. I don't think that Bill 52 recognizes my needs as a home educating parent. I think that it's going to be bad in the long run for Ontario, and this is why. And they can refer to the website if they're looking for more proof, more reasons. www.OntarioHomeschool.org. And from that main page, you can click right on Bill 52 and read everything that's going on. We're trying to keep that updated quite frequently. This law could affect all of us, and we have to make our voices heard before the law actually happens.
A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, well, you might find. We're gonna blow a 50-amp fuse. Sing it to me. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, will you just might find. Get your prescription filled. A man, did he look pretty ill? We decided that we would have a sort of my favorite flavor, cherry red. I sung my song to Mr. Jerry. Yeah, and he said one word to me, and that was dead. I said to him, you can't always get what you want.
My name is Stephanie Mosenia. I just moved to Canada from Germany. I was working as a librarian there, and we moved because homeschooling is illegal in Germany. I also wrote a book on homeschooling in Germany. I put most of my favorite parts from English or American or Canadian books and translated these parts and put them into a special order, and so to introduce Germans to the concept of homeschooling, and I hope this will be, there will be some effect to this book one day. I have one son, he's 7 years old. You might say we just started homeschooling, but actually I think we have been homeschooling for this whole 7 years.
How did you come to the idea of homeschooling anyway?
Well, it started when I read all those parenting books about like a democratic relationship between parents and kids and not always forcing them to do things. And so in those parenting books, obviously these ideas of having an equal relationship with your kids in many cases leads to homeschooling. So I thought, well, what's homeschooling and what are they talking about and what's this type of education? And I didn't know anything about it because it just doesn't exist in Germany. And so I inquired about homeschooling, and being a librarian, I just ordered all these books and read it, and I found it so interesting, and it was so, so convincing to me, the concept. So I just read and read on, and I was just so sorry that there was nothing in German about homeschooling. So I thought I might have to change it.
Was it difficult to leave Germany?
It wasn't difficult on one hand because, well, first of all, we had to go through the whole process of immigration and application for immigration in Canada. That took a little under 2 years. But in terms of leaving there, it wasn't so difficult because with all the communications you have today, like Julian talks to his grandmother every day through Skype, internet, telephone, and we even have webcams, so they see each other. So it's not like 20 years ago when you would have written letters. So it's easy on that side. But also, well, it's harder for us because, in Germany you get lots of assets that you don't have here, like 30 days of holidays or when you're working. So there are some positive things in Germany too. But they just have this stupid idea that if you want to learn something, you have to go to school, and this is what we always did, and so this can only be the only right idea about education. They just don't see that there are other ways and that there are studies and it's proven that homeschooling just works so fine. They just don't want to hear about it. I even went to the ministry and talked to them over an hour, and they had never heard about other reasons of homeschooling except for religious reasons. So they had never heard about natural learning, the unschooling ideas. They had never heard about them. There are like between 500 and 1,000 people who really homeschool in Germany, but they face so many problems. So there are families who have to pay high fines like the Skeets, or there are families who have to go to court and fight custody for their children. Many of the families either give up or move abroad. It would have been easy to say, okay, now that you're taking it so hard, we would just give in because, after all, school is not that bad. But I thought, I'm the parent, and I know what's good for my child, so I should be able to decide if I want to homeschool or not. And I just don't see why the state wants to force special education on my son when I know that this is not the right way for him to learn. Because when he was even 4 or 5 years old, everything that was like academic learning, like math or learning to write or whatever, it started like at 10 p.m. at night. So that was the natural time for my son to learn this academic stuff. And that would not be, he would not be interested about math at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Because in Germany, school starts at 8 o'clock. So that's too early anyway, like all scientific studies show. I just don't get why I should give in, sacrifice my son's love of learning, when they just don't understand about homeschooling. It's possible in all the other countries in Europe. Well, it's not very common, but it's possible in Austria. It's possible in many parts of Switzerland. It is in Belgium. Even at the ministry, they told me, well, if you want to do this, why don't you move to Eupen, which is like an hour's drive? So they know it's legal there. I don't know. Well, we're not, our schools are not the best, because I don't, the PISA international study shows that Germany is actually not doing very good. So how can they force all the children in a school that's even proven not to be the best? So I thought, oh, I gave them my book. I don't know if anybody read it, but I think a Ministry of School and Education should educate themselves, at least look into what is homeschooling and inform themselves. I think in Germany they just see the kids' rights, the children's rights, and they think their right is to get a proper education. And their idea of proper education is what you get in school. Just recently, at the beginning of this year, they founded the network Educational Freedom in Germany. That's where religious families and unschooling families just gathered together and thought, we have to join forces and try to introduce the concept of homeschooling together. So they met, and there is an email list. They are in contact with each other, and they have a website up. Something is starting. There will be a big conference. There was a first European conference in April in France this year, where they had talks and workshops about homeschooling. The second one is supposed to take place in Germany next year.
Some people say, they make a comment that, well, if everyone is going to go homeschool or private school or this or that, what will happen to the public education system? Is that something you want to comment on?
Homeschooling is completely free in countries like England, and because they don't even have to register their children, they don't have to follow the curriculum, and the public school system is still in place. There's only 1% of people homeschooling in England, and also in the United States. In most states, well, the regulations differ, but you can homeschool in every state, and the public schools are still there, and they're not even very good. And the German mind is not always trying something different or something new. So most of the people would just stick with what they have always done. It would just give the possibility to some people who brought their ideas from different countries or who have children who really need a special educational situation. So who would really be happy for this possibility to homeschool. I think it would be like 0.5% of people really homeschooling. And that's much less than we have children not going to school or refusing going to school on many of the days. So we have a big problem of children not going to school or just hanging out in the streets. And they should put their forces into helping those kids and not persecuting homeschooling families, I think. The website has two different names, though. There is an international name, too, so that would be www.unschooling.de. And I have many translated texts on there too, or texts from German homeschoolers who write about their experience and whatever. And I also try to gather events and conferences and whatever is taking part in the whole of Europe. So there is the HEFFES gathering. It's, which is the biggest gathering in Europe, the home education camp. And I have events from Spain, from Sweden, from everywhere over Europe. If I hear about them, I put them on there. So if people are interested, they could travel and meet other homeschoolers in Europe. There are events from Switzerland, France, Belgium, Spain, England, Germany. There's a lot going on in Germany right now. And it's starting to be more every year.
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.